And again, I was searching for love in all the wrong places, thinking I can love them through their foolishness. I can love them so they'll know what it looks like to love unconditional, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think about it going backwards now, and I laugh because I always say, you know, God says, but what makes you think you can do that when I haven't been able to change them? So looking back, I'm just thinking, but I'm going to do this.
We're playing God, right?
We're
thinking that we are. Yes.
Yeah.
Hi friends, you've made it to Karina Faith Diaries, your new go-to spot for real talk about the journeys that shape our faith. I'm Karina, your host, and I'm super excited to chat about real-life struggles, wins, and everything in between. This is all about honest conversations, lifting each other up, and the power of a relationship with Jesus. Whether you're here to learn, connect, or to get inspired, let's get started together.
Welcome back to Karina Faith Diaries. Today we have Rhonda in the house, and we were just talking here for about 45 minutes or maybe an hour actually. And yeah, we can talk for hours. So hopefully this is not going to be a 3-hour long episode, but she's very led by the Spirit, which I love. So if that ends up being the thing, then so be it. Right?
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Karina. Thank you for having me here. I'm excited and I'm humbled, and I'm just like, forward to the opportunity to just have a discussion. So thank you.
Yes, I'm very excited to hear. So you have quite the life, and let's start from the beginning. Tell us where you were born, a little bit about your family life as a child.
Yes, well, I was born in Lincoln, Nebraska. People always kind of laugh because I don't really talk about that, but that's where I was born. My father was in the Air Force. My parents were married at a very young age. They were 15 and 17 when they were married and had my brother, and then they had me. Mm-hmm. And so when my father went out of the military, he came back to Kinderville, Indiana. So that brought me back to Indiana. Little did I know, my parents were not getting along and had gotten a divorce. Mm-hmm. And my mother had custody of us. But unfortunately, I don't believe she was equipped to take care of my brother and I. So she left us at the babysitter's and she never came back.
What?
So, yeah.
So you experienced abandonment.
That was the root. I always tell people that's where it started, right?
How old were you?
Four and my brother was six. So it was four and six. And so, wow. It's like, you know, when I hear that story, you know, I kind of believe a narrative that I put in my mind as well of like, you know, who did what and why. And so I was told that there was some infidelity. And so, of course, I forgave people because you want your parents to be together and whatnot.
Sure.
But my mother, when she had left me, it was her brother that came and picked me up and my brother. So they took us in. Okay. So they took us in. We were in our first years of school, first and third grade. And we stayed there for 2 years. And unfortunately, that's when I experienced some molestation from my cousin.
Oh.
So that went on for a little over a year.
Okay.
I'm so
sorry about that.
Yeah. Thank you. I always tell, when I can tell my story and I don't have tears, I said, that's when I know that I've been healed.
Oh, so, I love that because I'm having the waterworks.
Yeah. And I'm like, going, because it used to hurt me when I would, and not just even hurt, I think it was more embarrassment. Like, you know, I tried to be perfect so no one would know the pain that I had experienced.
Sure.
And so I always love it when you stay with family members and I think sometimes they feel obligated to take you in, even though they might not want you. And when they don't want you, you feel it in some form or fashion.
Did you feel that way?
I absolutely did. It was
so
a lot
their obligation to take you in.
Yes.
Kinda.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you feel unwanted and unloved, if you will. And so that's when I experienced, you know, being abused both mentally and physically.
Did she know that that was happening? The aunt, the mom?
Well, yes, she did. My mother did not know that this was going on by any means.
Okay.
But my aunt, again, I just feel like when children come into an environment that I think, again, family says, well, we have to take them because nobody else is, with the right intentions, but then things happen and it's not a healthy environment for anyone.
Yeah.
So you're stuck with an abandonment route. I always say now that I'm a grown adult, I'm like, okay, that's when abandonment. And then I'm like, okay, I can be the perfect little child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my aunt had gotten into a car accident. I always say this, and she had passed away, and I felt relieved and happy.
Wow.
But yeah. Then I felt guilty because I'm like, what kind of human being does that? Mm-hmm. You know? So I was honestly, you know, wanting to go back to my father's, and I had known that my father had gotten remarried. Mm-hmm. So my brother and I went back to live with him. But then another vicious cycle starts, aww, right? My stepmother, they had two children together, and then taking on two more children. Again, she had to do that because I was there. That was my father. She married my father.
Yeah.
But again, didn't feel wanted. And aww, so the abuse, both mentally and physically, started all over again. And it was just that routine over and over again. I think when we're growing up during the most vital years, it's like you ask yourself, like, why me? Or mm-hmm, what did I do? Or could I be that unlovable? Or all these questions. And I always said, that's when the need to be perfect came in, like OCD, like kicked in, like I got to look perfect, I got to be perfect. So if I'm the perfect little girl, if I'm the perfect, you know, someone will love me.
Yeah.
And, you know, those abusive things go on. I was in modeling back in high school and did certain things just to be seen and to be loved. Mm-hmm. I thought they would love me if I did this, or if they'd love me if I did that. And it never worked. It never worked.
So you guys didn't know Jesus back then? Like, your families were not Christians?
Karina, that's the crazy part.
They were.
I was born or raised strict Catholic. Private grade school, private high school,
okay,
church for 12 years. You know, going to church three times a week, right? But didn't have any relationship with God.
Mm.
I could recite prayers. I could do the rosary. I feared God. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, all I've done was been a bad child. So there was such a disconnect with a personal relationship that I'm thinking there's no way that could happen for me. So that's kind of the funny part of my story, is because I think, oh my gosh, I was in church for 12 years, 3 days a week, and didn't know God at all.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know in the Bible when it was read that it was Jesus speaking. I was like,
I know. I didn't either until very much later in my life as well. It's very interesting that it's more of like a checking a box, you know, and I feel like it's safe to say that a lot of people are still living in that way, you know, of just like going in thinking that this is what I got to do to quote unquote be safe. But really, you're not experiencing the most rewarding thing, which is a relationship with him.
The intimacy wasn't there, right?
Yes. And so you knew of him. You didn't know him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, I was just like, so from all of that, I had the opportunity to move to LA. And so I was a makeup artist. And so I went out to LA and I thought, you know, I'm going to be a model. I'm going to be a makeup artist. Now, mind you, very green and naive. Thinking I was 21.
Okay.
So I was like, everyone's going to be, you know, just like me. They're going to be nice. And I was just very naive, thinking that everyone's my friend, you know, going to
Indiana
this
girl.
Yes.
Very Midwestern, like. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I go out there. And, you know, I'm working at South Coast Plaza in one of the biggest malls and just, you know, living the life. And I honestly will never forget it because I had gotten VIP at the clubs, you know, you knew what was going on, when it was going on. And someone comes over and says, you know, Magic wants to talk to you. And I fell out laughing and said, I don't want to talk to a magician.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know who Magic was.
What?
Right. So, I'm just like, So I'm like, my girlfriend goes, he plays for Lakers. And I'm like, and who are the Lakers? You know, so I was really naive, right?
Wow.
Very, very, very naive. And again, but I ran from here. I had to do, life had to be so much better somewhere else than it could ever be where I was at. So I ran all the way to LA thinking I'm running from everything, right?
But, so it's going to start new and fresh and.
Yes. But little do you know, when you move away, you take all those problems and all those, that pain with you, just goes to a different environment.
Yeah.
So I always say I lived the life, so people thought, you know, I dated my father's son, was in the entertainment industry. And so I'm like hitting the red carpets, you know, driving the Mercedes. You just think you're living a great life. But
that's
behind
what it appears to
that's
everyone.
What it appears.
Yes.
But behind closed doors, it was like a nightmare. It was, you know, there was so much infidelity, there was cheating. And I just thought that was a norm because it was kind of alluded to as a child that my father had done it. Now, mind you, that's what I always had thought, that was what happened. So I just thought that that's what men did. And again, I was searching for love in all the wrong places, thinking I can love them through their foolishness. I can love them so they'll know what it looks like to love unconditional, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think about it going backwards now, and I laugh because I always say, you know, God says, but what makes you think you can do that when they haven't, I haven't been able to change them? So looking back, I'm just thinking, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to.
We're playing God, right?
We're playing God.
We're thinking that we are. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's like, I can fix them, you know?
Yes.
I can show them God loves them, and they can put their hands on me and they can cheat on me, but I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them this is my job. And lack of love of self and all those things kind of manifest. Of course, I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And I had my son out there, and I thought, I'm going to have this child and I'm going to love them and they're going to love me. Like, that was my ultimate goal. Like, they're going to love me, you know?
So you got pregnant from one of the boyfriends.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then didn't stay with
no.
him.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
And
you decided to have your son.
I had my son. Yes. And so it was, again, you know, meeting his father, I thought he would sweep me off my feet kind of thing. And, you know, you're living a fairy tale life. And so you have this great life, so you think, and it just crumbles, you know, with the infidelity and just in entertainment. I always tell people you're rich for 10 months and poor for 8. So you're like Robin Peter to pay Paul. It looks great, but it's not, you know, it's not every smoke and mirrors. It's not what it appears to be. And so when I left my son's father, when I just had enough, I had my child on my hip, and it was like he had destroyed everything, my clothes, so I left with him on my hip with nothing.
Wow.
I had nothing. Living with a girlfriend and no car, no nothing. And in LA, you need a car. In LA, you need a car, right?
So did you have a job? You just like try to...
That's the one thing that I always say, that I had a great work ethic.
Okay.
Because that's one thing I could really do well is work. And I knew how to work and I wasn't afraid of work. So I was always, I'm just a normal person that works normal jobs. Mm-hmm. And would always have a job. I had to get out of retail and worked in an office. And I kind of talk about this, that I didn't go to college. I have a high school diploma. Didn't go to college. It wasn't reinforced in my household.
Sure.
Just thought I could go through a temp agency back in the day. And I thought, I can answer her phone. I can be a receptionist. And I ended up working for my mentor to this day, Michael Weintraub. He was an amazing man. He's Jerry Weintraub's son, who in the entertainment business. But he was like, he helped me grow and met me where I was at. But the crazy part is when his office manager had left, he's like, well, Rhonda, I want you to
take that position.
Take that position. I'm like, oh, no, no, no. And I always tell people, isn't it crazy what other people see in you?
That we don't see
in ourselves, right?
It is crazy.
That's why you need a circle in a village, right? Mm-hmm. That to push you into your purposes and promises.
A cheerleader.
Yes.
We all need that pep talk and that person who's really going to speak life into us.
Yeah. I was like, I'm like, oh, no, 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 I can't. I'm not ready for that. I can't do that. She did this. And I had the list, right? And he goes, give me 30 days. If it doesn't work, then we'll do different. Of course, you know, when someone believes in you, you're going to be like, this is going to work.
Yes. Yes. It gives you the, and it's, I love how God put, you know, the right people in your life, even in a distressful situation, you know, that you were like out with a son without any of your belongings. Couch surfing, maybe
with a child, right?
A child. Really, and then you meet your mentor for life. Like, that's pretty wild.
And that situation, again, looking back on it, because I still didn't, I would pray, but I didn't have a relationship with God. I just knew that he was so disappointed in me that how could he possibly love me, or how could anything good happen to me because of my past and my shortcomings? And so, I mean, it was blessing after blessing. You know, the daycare would be downstairs in my office in Santa Monica.
Wow.
I mean, he would, and the company paid for my daycare. I mean, it was like God winks everywhere I went. So yeah, it was good. It was good.
So then what brought you back here?
God's sense of humor. I laugh so much because I'm like, he's so funny, you know, because I always say God will take you, you know, back to the very thing that you ran from to heal.
Mm.
So in order for me to heal, I had to confront the pain. And I was, you know, so distracted by raising a son. I have a granddaughter now, but I'm like, I was in so much survival mode, Karina, that I think that the world just passed me by the grace of God, that I was working and paying the bills, but didn't have a very close-knit relationship with my son, because I was like, I'm feeding you, I'm putting a roof over your head. That's all I got.
Yes, or like you said, survival mode.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so it was after 9/11 that I was working for Deutsche Bank, and our headquarters was in New York. And when the Twin Towers went down, it affected the structure of our organization. Mm. And it was, again, the God winks. I would get a free plane ticket. Who gets a free plane ticket? Not very many people. Yeah. And it was like, I was supposed to, if you worked at the company for so long, they were restructuring and you would get a severance package. And I'm thinking, there's no severance for me. They kept me on board till my son got out of school, moved me. And they said, not only Indiana, we have Simon. We deal with Simon Property Group and Duke Realty. So I had interviews immediately.
Oh, my gosh.
With those two organizations, which are pretty big. Duke's no longer here, but, you know, within our community and our industry of commercial real estate. So
that speaks a lot about companies, too. Like, I just want to insert this in there, because as a person who owns, you know, I own a company, too, I strive to do the best that I can to people, right? You are a great leader when you take care of your people. And that made such an impact in your life.
Like, it changed my life. Yeah.
It's part of your testimony of like how well they took care of you. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's like, being that I've worked, I feel like, you know, you're all in. Mm-hmm. I think you just want to make them proud that they made the right choice and decision. And it's still, I always say that you go over the top.
Because the extra mile. Because you want to please.
Yes. Because you want to please them. And it was my love language, right? I was good at it. I knew how to do it. And so I'll never forget driving. They shipped my stuff here and had gotten a job immediately.
Wow.
Because at first and that was another thing. A gentleman that I had been engaged to, he's like, Rhonda, you know, if you don't have a degree in something, basket weaving, it's going to be hard for you here. And I'm like, for the first time in my life, I felt like a sense of doubt in the work environment, because I'm thinking, I can get a job anywhere. Like, I can work. I'm good at working. And so I had doubt entered my mind. And I was so happy when I was offered a position with a really good company here that helped bring me back. And my son, you know, I was trying to make it great, because I hadn't been back here. I was gone for 20 plus years, almost 21 years.
Oh, wow.
So I was thinking things kind of changed a bit. And so I was very excited, but it was hard for my son. He was in high school.
Oh, yeah. It's hard. It's a tough time to be relocated and find new friends and be the new kid at school.
And here I was excited, but I didn't know how it was going to affect him.
Sure.
And it was kind of a night and day change. I mean, school systems were different.
LA and Indy. It's just that alone.
So I was trying to sell him on it, and it wasn't working. So it was really hard. And he was 2 years younger than everybody in his class, because the cutoff was different. So he graduated just when he was 17 and just turning 17. And so it was, and he didn't grow, and now he's 6'5", right? So there was he is biracial.
Okay.
And so he, here it's kind of stuck in a time warp. We had to deal with, you know, race.
And
that was a whole nother obstacle that I had never felt. You know, I'm like, we're all human beings, you know. So that was something that was very hard to kind of overcome, the adversities that came along with that. Because I was always telling him, you have the best of both worlds, you know, white and black, and you're just amazing. So,
I love that.
You know, that's what I would say. And I'm like, we're the bridge, you know, you got to be a bridge. But the more I'm saying that, it's hard to understand.
Yes,
so.
It is, especially for kids. And kids are cruel.
Yeah.
They're cruel. So it's.
Yeah.
So then, okay, you guys moved here, you got your job, and then how did life transition to you then? Like, how, because you have come quite a long way of knowing Jesus, and not only just knowing him, but hearing from the Holy Spirit, having this prophetic gift. How did that all come about?
Oh my gosh. I mean, when I look back in the midst of it, I am like, this is horrible. How am I going to, behind closed doors, I was having meltdowns. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it. My son would feel this adversity at school, and I, you know, be the cheerleader and be thinking positive Polly over here. And it was just so challenging behind closed doors. I honestly thought I was being punished again still. Oh. Like my whole life was being punished for being a bad person or a bad, you know, having a child out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. Because if there's one thing that Catholic, you know, religion has taught me, mm-hmm. you don't do that, mm-hmm. you know. And so my girlfriend had said there was this new church that was going to be opening up near me. And mm-hmm. she wanted to know if I wanted to go to the opening ceremonies or uh-huh. service. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, something's got to give. Something has to give. Yeah, I'm at this breaking point. Something has to give. My son at that point, he was going into college. And so he joined a fraternity. And so he had some brotherhood there. And I was given a little bit of more freedom, uh-huh. If you will, to kind of like, okay, I still am experiencing some heartache and pain. Where is this coming from? I need to get back into church. And so in LA, I was going to a couple non-denominational mm-hmm. churches. I always told people you wear shorts or flip-flops or you can come in suited and booted.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. You were in church and I loved
Which
the experience.
Which I love that. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so coming back here, I hadn't gone to church for several years. And then girlfriend had invited me to this service. And so I went. My girlfriend knew I was going through some, you know, again, behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. In front of the public, I acted like everything was just, you know, wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I'm the purpose pusher. This is my job. Yeah. I'm the encourager. And so I went to church and I always say, do you ever go to church and when someone's speaking, you feel like they're speaking exactly to you? Like,
oh,
I'm like,
absolutely.
I'm just thinking and I'm like nudging her. I'm like,
How
does she know? Like, seriously. And I'm like going, and she goes after service and everyone says, if you want someone to pray over you. And I'm like, at this point, the service had me. I was so wide open to hear from God. I wanted to go up for prayer. Mm-hmm. And so I was emotional. I'll never forget it. And the first lady of the church was sitting down and while the pastor was praying over people, but she stood up when it came to me. And I'm like, she whispers in my ear and kind of, she read my mail. She's, uh-huh. I'm like, you know, who is she? And she's like, I just didn't even, and I started crying. All I can remember is crying because I'm like, I felt like she knew my story. Uh-huh. Like she knew where, not my brokenness. She was speaking directly to my pain.
Wow.
And so I was, I think, in shock a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I go back to my seat. My girlfriend, after service, she goes, are you okay? I need to leave. And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. I said, but did you tell her my story? Because mm-hmm. that woman, she knew
knows.
Me.
Yeah.
She knew me. She goes, no, I would never do that. And of course, they started the service and I was there. I was there. And this particular woman was just, she's just an amazing woman of God. And she just, I literally would sit in the seats watching the pastor and first lady's mouth move because I was hanging on to the word.
Mm.
I needed hope. Mm. And in that moment, when I would be listening, not only did I hear it, I said, I'm going to do that. Stop dating. I haven't dated in 7 years. I just needed to know this man named Jesus. I needed, mm-hmm. I know his name. I know God. I know the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. I know them, but I have no relationship. And I hear these, I see these things. And I'm like, I came back here for a reason. Mm-hmm. So she started mentoring me, the first lady.
Wow.
Walking me through a healing process, if you will. And I always tell people, I always thought that, you know, I survived, right? So mm-hmm. I'm healed. I'm good. Meanwhile, just because you survived something doesn't mean you've been healed.
That's very true.
Yeah. So I was just, I knew pain so well. I knew what it was packaged or what it looked like or what it felt like. Just suppress it. Just mm-hmm. push it down and you push through it. That's what you do. That's what you do. And we know that that's not thriving. That's just surviving.
Yeah.
So being mentored by her, and she had operated in the office of prosthetic. And I would honestly get so excited to hear people quote scriptures.
Oh, same. I'm so inspired by that.
Right? Yes. And so I'm just like, I want to be like one. I want to love God like that. And I want to love the Lord so much that he puts these scriptures in my mouth and they mm-hmm. resonate. And you know, what you say back then, you think never is really going to happen. And then little by little, you're quoting scriptures and bringing it full circle. Mm-hmm. But it was just those moments I always say, but just because you can quote scripture doesn't mean, you know, that you
have
know
a relationship.
More, have a relationship with God.
Yes.
Exactly. And so it was over time that I had experienced a hearing, you know, hearing, it's that voice. I always say that that voice that you're like, well, who is that? That wasn't me. That must be just me wanting to do something or mm-hmm. me not wanting to do something. I'm like, oh, okay, God, you didn't tell me to go right. You told me to go left. Come on, let's go left.
Yeah.
You know, and I go left still because operating in not obedience, mm-hmm. right? I know these things now, but I'm like going, I kept saying, God, where were you in this? Where were you in that? And he goes, I was there. I was the still voice waiting for you. And whenever I tell people, you know, they're going, well, I don't hear him like I used to. And it's like, where did you hear him last? Go back to that secret place and fall back in love with your first love.
Oh,
because that's what I have to do. And it's not just like you can know God so and being so in love with him, but be missing the relationship by striving and trying to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what had happened. And then other people seeing the gifts that you have and not intentionally, I think them wanting to push you into your ability and your giftings, but then also over time, you're not doing the things that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like sometimes you got to leave a situation to hit the reset button to go back in.
I needed to hear that. You were talking about the relationship, and this is for me also, because I do have a relationship with Jesus, but how would you describe what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus to you?
I heard it in a song. I think it was a song once. It's like, once your knees hit the ground and you looked up, that's when it started. And I'm going to get emotional because literally, guys, my life was just so full of so many highs and lows. And I was always like, what am I doing wrong? God, give me the roadmap. Mm-hmm. If you just tell me what to do or the manual, I will do it. Just tell me. I remember sitting in my car just like crying like, God, help me. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it, right?
There's a psalm that says exactly that by David. You know, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And it's true because I asked this too, but it's not that simple.
No. And he's like, well, probably says now, it's like, well, I tell you what to do and you still do it the other way, you know? I heard you. But it was like, I never understood the word gifting when you have a gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I loved people. Love was my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, love is my thing. It's like, I can love people. I'm gonna make you choke on this love.
Yes.
Because it's just like, I want you to know that I see you. So I always called myself an encourager.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had left one church, experiencing some church hurt a little bit.
Okay.
And when I left that church, I went to another church. And I went through this program called the School of Kingdom Ministry.
Okay.
And I said this church kind of loved me back to life. And in that experience, I started to love myself and know that there wasn't anything really wrong with me. But I had so much brokenness in me that I wanted to fix it.
Mm.
Right? But you can't fix something. It's something that has to come to the surface to heal, to forgive. And all those words that I always say, those cliche, powerful words that nobody forgive. I forgave them, but I forgive them in my mind, but not my heart.
Sure. You know, yes.
There's a disconnect, right?
Uh-huh.
So I went through these programs and I'm like, okay, again, it just taught me I love to love people. And I always tell people I will be a greeter. So at every church, I was a greeter because I loved loving on the people.
Yeah.
Like I just want them to see that I see you, you matter, mm-hmm. you know? And then as I did that and just the joy of doing that, I mean, it sounds so corny, but I literally looked forward to going to church.
I'm right with you.
And I'm just like, and I do it downtown here in Indianapolis. I work in commercial real estate downtown and I hit the streets and I'm like, I want to love on people. I get to know the homeless's name. If they need clothing, I go back to my office and we get clothing. And, you know, I just want them to know that they've been seen, you know? And so when I started greeting at the churches, I would hear things for people.
And from God?
From God. And so as I'm hearing things and I'm like thinking,
where is this coming from? Is it my mind?
Is that me? Yeah. Or is like, I'm like, oh, that's just a loving word. Oh, that's just, I'm thinking, oh, that's just some encouragement, some powerful encouragement.
Yeah.
But the more I would release the powerful encouragement, the more something else took over.
Wow.
And I'm seeing other things to the point where I would walk away and I wouldn't know what I just said. So I knew it wasn't me.
Wow.
But it wasn't for me. I always say when you have a gift of prophetic, it's not, it's being an empty vessel so God can use you mm-hmm. to speak into someone else's life.
Mm.
So that it just gradually, and it's like I always say, we always pray about wanting something, but we don't give God space and room.
Yeah.
So for me, I had to remove some clutter and some distractions because I was trying, I would fear the Bible. I'm like, I can't read the Bible. Yeah. Every time I tried to read the Bible, you know, it does, I'm overwhelmed. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And the Old Testament scares me. I'm all about the New Testament.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, the first lady that mentored me, she had told me, God told me to tell you to read the book of Acts 3 times. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I read it, and it's probably my favorite book between that and Esther, you know? Uh-huh. So I read this book, and it tells the totality of the story of Jesus, 3.5 years, right? Mm-hmm. And then the more I would read that, I got involved with, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel. So it was more giving myself the space and the freedom to understand the word, because mm-hmm. people would say, the Bible's the only book that you will read, but it will read you. And I'm like, what are they saying?
Yes.
You know, right?
Yes.
But now I get it.
And it's alive and it's so current. And people think it's just this old, you know, thousands of years old. I'm like, just try to take a read and you will see a lot of things that are very current. Especially nowadays, yes. I feel like more than ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it would be like, I would tell people, I'm like, you guys, I know. I've tested this. I would open the Bible and I'm like, God, I need a word. Mm. And I would like wherever I would land. Now, anyone listening, try that. Just like, give me a word, God, because I will do that still. God, I need a word. Mm-hmm. And he never disappoints. He cares so much about the details.
Yeah.
That he sees, you know, he knows us. It's like we think sometimes there's so many other people's prayers that are bigger and more necessary than yours. No, he hears everything. He's omnipresent. He knows these things, right? Yes. He knows it before you know it, you know?
Sure. Yeah, before we speak.
Yeah.
So how do you, for people, my question is on discernment. There's so many people, or not so many, but people who will say that they hear from the Lord and it's not the Lord. What is a good rule of thumb, if there is one, to know and have discernment of what is really coming from God and what it's not? Do you have that?
Yeah, I would. There's two things here. Whenever anybody's speaking into your life, you must always send it back to God. God, is this for me? You have, mm-hmm. everybody is human beings. They make, check have, in. Check in. We are human and we're flawed, mm-hmm. right? For me, when I speak a word, it's usually, God's encouragement is always the easiest one. I think mm-hmm. that's why he starts everybody off with being kind. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be overcomplicated, right? Yeah. God is always going to encourage you. The enemy will never want to. He'll speak life into you. He'll speak life into you. Words, I always say that when you're speaking to somebody, it's like how it lands. I've learned now that if you're a vessel and you work for the Lord, you have to be a cleansed vessel, and you speak to people and they have to discern it and take it back to him. But the word is going to correct you if need be. And it's not, I can't worry about how it lands. Meaning if my motive and my intention is to serve him, then how I speak in love and kindness, well, how it lands on them uh-huh. is up to God.
Yeah. And you can control how I will receive that.
How they receive it. I always say when it lands. And so for me, because I've had so many words that slap me in my face and I'm like, wow, I felt that Holy Spirit. You know, yes. Whoa, okay. You know, or you'll get goosebumps. And I've gotten bolder because I did pray for holy boldness where I'd speak to people, complete strangers, and people would say, well, how do you know? And I'm like, I'm so busy and I love God and I can't care enough to know, but I know that this is not for me. So I'm just releasing it to you and please pray about this. Yeah. You know, take it to him, ask for clarity, direction, and let him, because your parents or people that you love can pour into you with the same words that sometimes I release in people, but they can't hear it. I always tell people, like my son would, I pour into him and I'm like, you know, you're destined to do great things. You're called and set apart. You know, and the more I said that, the more he went left. Right? Uh-huh. Right.
So funny how when parents say, and then a stranger says the same thing, they're like, whoa, this person said this. I'm like, I've been telling the same thing for years of your life. It's like, but somebody else just told them. It's so true. We
and
don't.
I'm just like, I don't care how he gets it. But meanwhile, I wanted to say, I've been telling you. Right. Yes. Exactly. But I'm like, as long as he gets it, just get it. Yes. So when I pray for people and I'm like, you know, sometimes when you're too close to situations, you can do the things in love, but they can't hear it. They can't receive it. And so my prayer will be to God, put someone on their path that will speak life into them, mm-hmm. you know, to yeah. plant that seed of hope. Because God will send somebody to water it, someone to till it. He sends, every time he'll send somebody to work it. And it's not in my timing, because if I want the microwave deal, mm-hmm. right? I want it to be done.
Same. You know? Yeah. Yeah. No yeah. patience. That's yeah. not one of my gifts either. So let's circle back to, we had some reader questions here regarding finding your value and your worth in men when something tragic happened in your life, or when you had trauma, like you experienced that. Can you describe to us what, how do you feel like that's vicious cycle, and how did you get out of it? Like some tips maybe for...
Yeah, that was the hardest thing, right? Because first off, I had to know what was causing all this. Mm. And honestly, it was lack of love of self. Mm. If that would have been taught to me early on, I wouldn't have made some of the choices and decisions that I made looking for love in all those wrong places, thinking I'm going to save them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and that doesn't have to just be with a male, you know, or your companion. That's any relationship,
yeah.
right? So for me, I was so broken and just needing to be loved so desperately that I settled.
Mm.
I would, and what does settling look like? Settle is compromising whatever you feel in your spirit.
Your value.
Yes. Whatever that is. And so it wasn't, and it didn't happen overnight. But the more I got closer to God, I learned his grace and compassion for me, and that he does love me. And that, okay, the enemy's voice, I was hearing that much louder than I was God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I negate that? How do I like not hear that anymore? And it's like, you have to do it with God's word. And so for me, it was going back to how do I love myself? Well, I know I'm worthy now. And I literally, to this day, I have affirmations on my mirror.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
I am worthy. I am loved. You know, I am purposeful. I am healthy, wealthy, and wise. I am the answer to a prayer.
Amen.
You know, and I say those and I'm like, wow. And not just think them, because in your thoughts, but say them out loud.
Yes.
Because that has dominion. That's saying I'm using the power and authority that God has given to me
mm-hmm.
to speak those words as they are true. And that's what I had to convince myself.
Yeah.
And it's not, we're work in progress. It's like, literally, I don't like going to the gym. I had a fiance that says he bought me the outfits and he bought me the tennis shoes. And he's like, and I'm like, and the more he did that, it was like a rebel. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to the gym. You know, yeah. I don't want to go to the gym. Right. And so now, again, hindsight, I said, okay, knowing God is a workout. You can't just be one and done and you're there and do a morning prayer and expect everything to be going great.
It's
and
a daily. You have to show up.
You have to show up, Karina. Yeah. You have to be intentional, because mm-hmm. people will say, I'm so busy. We're all busy.
Yeah.
But if you can't make time for him, come on. Like, seriously, yeah. we have to be intentional, because for me, it's like, if we're not, then we'll thirst, and what will quench our thirst will not fulfill. They won't fill us. That's yes. scriptural, right? The woman yeah. at the well, right?
Yes.
He goes, I'll give you living water. You'll thirst no
you'll
more.
You'll never thirst right? again. Yes.
Because social media, I went off of social media like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know, the things we scroll with, not bad intentions, but the things that we soak in subliminally are what dictate our next steps and our moves.
Yes.
And if you're not filling yourself with things like this podcast, you know, mm-hmm. things that are positive, that overcomers, like stories that, you know, our testimonies, he says, we were saved by the blood of the Lamb, and our testimony is nothing but the grace of God that I'm sitting right here.
Yeah.
Right? The odds were against me, but God. God always will have a plan. Everybody has a promise and a plan. It's whether how long does it take me to get there? And it's a constant journey. It's a constant journey. But it was when I learned that God loved me, that he forgave me, when I released the ask for forgiveness. I mean, that was humbling. I'm like, no, I've forgiven everybody. I know a person had given me a forgiveness prayer, and I'm like thinking, oh, I forgave everybody already, but I'll read the prayer. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading the prayer. I was down there for 20 minutes, Karina. Still ask. They did upset me. Like, you know, and saying, you know, it's like you forget sometimes the people that you need to forgive.
Yes.
Right? Or if you forgive them from your mouth, but not in your heart.
Yeah.
There's 18 inches of separation in what we think, what we speak, but our heart. That's why God says protect your heart at all costs, because everything is derived from that. We have to, and that's the motive behind a thing. Why am I doing these things? Why, you know, am I sharing my story? Something that used to embarrass me, because let's be clear, we're raised to sweep things underneath the rug.
Yes, and I'll talk about things. Can you connect the prophetic gift that you have with scripture, and where do you see that laid out in the Bible?
Well, yeah, that's beware of false prophets. I'm going to speak about this because beware of false prophets. I mean, everybody with a social platform and a media platform, everybody has an opinion.
Yes.
And they're calling it a prophetic word. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that something has to quicken with your spirit. When I would say when someone speaks my language, you know immediately. Mm. It's not like something you're trying to read into it. But it's biblical in the senses that God sent all, he has so many prophets in the Old Testament, you know, Elijah, Jeremiah, all these prophets. And they're the gifts of prophecy, teaching, gosh, help me out. There's preaching, teaching, exhortation, and prophesizing and healing, you know, the fivefold ministry. And so for me, it's written throughout the whole Bible, but a lot of people want to control and manipulate that to work to their advantage. That's where discernment comes in, right?
Okay.
And people are going, well, you know, discernment. I always used to think like, you know, discernment, that's just kind of a big word, but it's like, you know, quickens with your spirit. If you're thinking about something and you are, and again, it's going to be from something that is good, not of what is bad and evil. You know, the truth will set a captive free, but the truth is also going to be done in love.
Yes.
So you have to know the difference between the two and always take it to God, you know, for, you know, confirmation. Mm-hmm. But for me, a prophetic word will be confirmed 2 or 3 times later.
Wow.
And it'll be with somebody else. It'll come to you. And another thing, it's like God is not going to give you a prophetic word that he hasn't given you first. Mm. So if somebody comes to speak into your life and you're like, well, I didn't even think that, then you got to question that. Because he's always going to give it to you first. And then
so
he's going to
just confirm. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Because otherwise it's like, you know, like that's confusion, and God doesn't operate in confusion, right? Yeah. So he's going to always give you even the correction, even if he's coming to you to warn you of something, to not do something, or, you know, step away or whatever he needs to get the message to you.
You have felt before, yes.
You know, and then somebody's going, and then they always go to, well, how did you know that? And I'm like, I don't. He does.
Yeah.
Give him all the glory.
Just be the messenger.
No,
here.
I don't even want to carry that, right?
Well, yes. Yeah.
But that's it's like, it will always come to you first. Mm-hmm. And then he'll send people to confirm it, to encourage you on the walk. And he only gives it to you in part too. That's another thing. Pay attention to that. If someone's got the whole reading, all of it, you know, that something's not right. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's only going to give you part because he's going to have you seek him.
Oh, for guidance.
Always. Because there's order. There's proper alignment. Mm. I always say, I have to have this relationship before I can have this relationship.
Sure.
Because this relationship can taint that relationship.
Yeah.
Not intentionally, but if people aren't equally yoked or on the same page as you mentally and spiritually, they can, I always say, put a seed of doubt. And that's all the enemy needs to, like, have you questioned the very thing that God has called you to do?
Yeah.
Right? Just that. I always say they don't even have, you can share your something with your family members that you want to start doing. And it could just be like, oh, it could be a tone. And that planted a seed of doubt. Mm. And the enemy will run with that. But the good news is anything that God has for you, no man can take away. It's just the amount of the time that you're going to take. I always say, how many times do I have to get to the back of the line and try this again? Because I've done so many things on repeat mode. It's like, you didn't learn the test. You know, get to the back of the line. Let's try this again.
Yeah. Been there, done that too.
Right?
Lots
right?
of times.
It's like, but that's the journey.
Yes.
Because people look at
and we
this.
Learn. Nothing is wasted to God. Nothing is wasted. That's one thing too that I find comfort in, because it's not a waste of time. There's something to be learned in every season. And then he will open doors, he'll close doors. And I just love that. When we are in him, he will move with us, right? And do the things.
Stay connected, right?
Yeah, and just step in faith too. Like sometimes he will require of us to just take a leap of faith and do some things that are uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Yes. That takes us out of our little bubble
But that's when I think I always tell people, how do you know if God's in this? If he's trying to get you to make a step, take a step that's so big that you yourself couldn't do, do it. Because that's when because then he gets all the glory. It's not like you, that's why we have to dream big, right? Because otherwise, if people say, oh, that was just a coincidence. Oh, lucky you. No, I couldn't have done this. This is all God.
100%.
100%. Yes. Yeah. So he's asking us. That's why, you know, Matthew 6:33 is like one of my favorite scriptures I've been standing on the past year is, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything else will follow, right? So he said, seek me and your blessings, your promise will run you down and take you over. He says, there's no longer, you have to force it chasing after somebody. If you have to ask, is this it? Then it's not it. Be still.
Yeah.
And the hardest things for us to do in this hustle society that we live on is to be still and wait.
Yeah.
Who wants to sit in a waiting room? I don't like to.
No, nobody does.
But we must.
Yes.
We must, because then it's bigger than what we think. It's bigger than what your platform. God, this is just an amazing opportunity. It's like it can go into rooms across the world. That is just a blessing of the tool, the resources, right?
Yes.
You know, to use internet for good. You know, we're in it, you know, the ChatGPT and AI, you know, but we're going to use it for good, you know, and how we use those technologies. But we're getting into spaces and places that God usually can't get into or send his people into, right? In the United States, we're very blessed.
Yes, that we have free speech.
Very blessed.
Be able to, I agree. So you mentioned a fiancé. Did you ever get married or what's in the cards there?
Oh, Karina.
Let's keep that.
Oh, my God. Really? Oh, goodness. Engaged 3 times and never married.
Wow.
And I always tell people, did you guys see The Runaway Bride with Julia Roberts?
Yes.
And it's like...
Feels like that.
Yeah. Well, kind of. It's like the whole storyline in that movie was like she had gotten married and she was running away from every time she was to go to the altar. And so I think it was Richard Gere that goes and interviews her and it's like, what's wrong with this woman? And he went down to the eggs, like, how do you prepare your eggs? And every fiance prepared his eggs differently.
Oh, okay.
So she would only eat the way they ate. Meanwhile, whatever made them happy, right? So it's like, oh, you know, this guy, Tom has scrambled eggs and Scott had his over easy, you know, one had eggs big and thick, and she would never be herself.
Oh, wow. I never picked that up. Yes.
Yeah. And so she was never herself. Oh, that was me. So I'm engaged because society tells you, right? I have a child out of wedlock. This is why I'm being punished. This is what I'm thinking in my head, right, in Los Angeles. And I'm thinking, oh, a man will complete me because society tells us we're supposed to be married, right? And I'm like, every time I would get engaged, it just gave them permission to do something other than marriage. So I never made it to the altar. Coming back here and being engaged, I was really saddened by it didn't work out because my son, it was like, you know, I'm like, I have a child, I'm a package deal. And so for whatever reason, I always tell people, it just didn't work out with those three people. And they just weren't right for me. They might be right for someone else, right? Situations arose and it just, I always say, thank you, God, for the unanswered prayers. Like, like literally, because we always are praying for these things. I'm boohooing and crying.
But he knows
what's best for us. Right.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for the unanswered prayers.
Yeah.
So going full circle, it's like I'm like in a society I am much more, I'm older, I'm mature. And people are always like, you know, even in the church, it's like you have to be very, honestly, very careful because I'm not married and I'm a Christ bride, you know, I'm in love with the Lord. And so for me, I feel that if God wants me to be married to my kingdom spouse or my Boaz, that he'll put them on my path because it says he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I am, you know, definitely would like to be married, but I'm not out there looking. I don't believe people are going, Rhonda, you know, I can fix you up or Rhonda, we can, you can do this app. And I'm like, no, if God wants me to be married,
he will
make that way. And I'm not going to lie. I said, I used to have like, you know, these top 10 and they have to fill this top 10. I said, the list went down to like 5 now, but I'm still good. but I'm like, if it's in God's plan, but that doesn't negate my power. And I used to think, guys, after COVID, it was 21. And I prayed, I wanted to buy a house because I had never bought a home. Mm-hmm. And that's what success looked like to me. So in the middle of COVID, I'll never forget it. I went to look with your mask and you had to make the appointments and stuff, right? I just think that's crazy. We talk about that stuff. But I was like, I pulled up and like, there's all these fancy cars in front of the house. I'm like, they're going to make a full cash offer. They're going to double the price. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, I'm like, okay, I go in there with my realtor and she goes, well, what are you thinking? I'm like, I want it. Yeah. And I'm like thinking, I'm not going to get it. I got the house, right? But I always thought I needed a man to get a house.
Oh, wow.
That's how I was programmed. Like I thought that
maybe that's what you were, the negative talking was coming from. Yes. Like thinking that you were insufficient.
Meanwhile, God went before me. Yeah. He's not only with us, he goes before us.
Yes.
To walk us in the door.
And we are sufficient in him.
In him.
Always.
I always tell him, if you can't get through the front door, you know, I said, there's a back door. And it's like, if you can't get through the door, there's windows.
Yeah.
If he wants to get you in somewhere, he'll get you in there.
Yeah.
And so it was like such a miracle story, you know, for getting the house. But then, you know, just knowing that, he's like, I have completed you. You don't need them. That's an added bonus, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't. That doesn't mean that, you know, you can't do the things that I've called you to do. Mm. If that comes, I always say there's two separate with married couples. There's usually, you know, a ministry that you can do together, but there's also ministries that you do on your one-on-one. Oh. There's a sphere of influence that we have that God puts us in spaces and places to speak life into people and to spread his good news, right? Planting a seed of hope to save a soul. And so what that looks like, I will say, for me, it's not in the traditional way anymore. It's not coming as much to the four walls of a church, but to bring God into the marketplace, right? To bring God into the supermarket. I'm like, whoever God puts on your path, that is your ministry. You are the church. You might be the only Bible that someone reads.
Yes.
Right? And what are we doing? How are we spreading? How are we operating with love and kindness, you know? And so for being single, it was challenging because I thought I was supposed to be married, you know? And I thought I was like, you know, this isn't the life that I thought I was supposed to live. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but this is a life that God knew I was supposed to live.
And he has your time. He has all of your time because you don't have to dedicate it to another human, right? At this point.
I had to sit there. I had just recently said, you know, but I was scared to date because I didn't want that to take away from my relationship with God. And I had to repent for that, Karina, because I thought, you know, because God's never going to send you someone that's going to take you from him. Ugh. He's going to send you somebody that's going to partner with you.
Amen.
Right? Yes. But I was like, oh, you're right.
Yes.
You're that's right.
Great. That is great.
Yeah. Because it is hard sometimes doing life alone. I don't want to say it's lonely, but there's moments. God doesn't mean for us to do life alone.
Yeah.
Yes. To walk through life, to partner with you. I've got the most amazing group of friends. I honestly am overwhelmed sometimes about how God has strategically placed spiritual sons and daughters and, you know, men and women into my life. Mm-hmm. You just can't make it up. I mean, they are pushing me as much as I'm pushing them. Mm-hmm. You really don't. It's hard to find that.
Yeah.
It's hard to find that. Is. And it's not just in the church. It's just everywhere.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for a great story. I am sure that encouraged so many people. I am very encouraged by that. And I hope that you find that partner. I really do. But I love that you are trusting him with that. And it's his will, right? Everything that I say when I pray for the things that I want, I ask and then I say, but your will, because that's what I want for my life, you know, and if it's not meant to be certain things. And I also do ask, if this is not meant to be, then remove it from my heart because I'm really wanting
that's
it.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah. Remove it from my heart, right?
Yes. Yes. Good. Remove it from my heart because he has the power to do it. So, and I'm like, if this is not for me and I'm desiring it, I don't want to be desiring what's not for me. So anyway, thank you so much, Rhonda. Would you like to close us in prayer?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I also want to just let people out there that if you're going through the storm and you're going through trying times right now, don't give up. That's when I keep hearing the word refine. There's a refining moment that we're all going through right now, but God is raising up a new remnant of believers and people to stay the course and try to stay in the Lord's prayer. There is, you know, he says, stay in this day stay here. This is why he says daily bread. He goes, don't get too far ahead because you'll miss the opportunities that God puts on our path today. So don't get discouraged in the silence and the stillness, but just stay still and allow God to bring the right people on your path, because this next move is an organic move And it's so unorthodox, not done in a traditional way that everybody's going to, and the younger people. I mean, if there's younger people watching, oh my gosh, you know, I always say, catch this wave, get your boogie board, get your surfboard, because there's a wave coming. And I believe it is already here for revival. And the revival is in you and I. The revival starts in us, the fire. Mm. And it's ignited in us and these opportunities that we're able to speak. But more importantly, who's fanning your fire? Fan the flame. Have people, make sure your circle is pushing you, you know, to encourage you to be the best version, not like someone else, but to be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be.
So I love that.
Yes. So thank you. Yes. So love to pray. Father God, I just want to take this moment to say thank you. I ask, Father God, that anybody that is watching this, that they will walk away with a seed of hope, Father God, that if you did it for me, you can do it for them. Father God, I ask you that you will bless and anoint this podcast, Father God, Karina and her talks and her discussion, because you said where two or more are gathered that you are in the midst, and we feel you here. We ask, Father God, that you will pour into each and every person watching it, that their eyes will be opened and their ears will be open to hear the things that you have for them, that new revelation is coming, that new downloads and strategies and creativity is being birthed. Father God, move in a mighty way over your people. Move expeditiously, Father God, that you will overtake them for who you are, Father God, that you will get all the glory in the kingdom impact. And we ask this in your heavenly name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. I hope you guys are walking away feeling encouraged and maybe even a little lighter. Make sure to subscribe and drop a comment or review so we can keep this faith-filled community growing. Share this episode if it touched you or if you know someone who needs to hear it. Let's spread the love. I'll see you next week on Karina Faith Diaries. And until then, stay strong, stay kind, and keep the faith.